You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If you read this report about the spike in crime in all the precincts, nearly every single police precinct in New York has seen a spike in crime. There are five where the rate has doubled. Look, that's more than doubling in, say, Precinct 26. The only precinct in Manhattan not to see a crime jump is the one that governs Central Park. Here's a quote from one Brooklyn police officer. At this rate, we will lose the city by St. Patrick's Day.
We will lose the city of New York to the criminals by St. Patrick's Day at the rate of crime of increasing we're seeing. That's Dagan McDowell with Fox News, one of the analysts. This is Feb 9, 2022. St. Patty's Day is March 17. Now, you might think that's an overdramatic statement from that police officer. Hyperbole. Or is he closer to being realistic? Crimes are escalating. You know that. You hear that. And the Democrats know that and hear it. Senator Cruz today leading a call for more police while you still have folks like squad member St. Louis Congresswoman Cori Bush still pushing defund police. Defund police. Many of the Democrats who have joined up with that cry in the past are going silent, missing in action. They're beginning to recognize this is not working for us. You think? Not only not working for you politically, but it is not helping U.S. security. Other Dems are backing away because of all this because they want to be reelected. But in the midst of that, the Biden administration, yes, it's a fact. I'll give you more details on it later. There is a plan being laid out to give crack pipes to drug addicts using your taxpayer money and provide safe places for them to use the crack pipes and other drugs. So with some of the Republicans now questioning, maybe Biden should take a mental cognitive test. I think some of these stories kind of say, yeah, maybe if he's still applauding these and leading on with them, yeah, I think so. But he won't. We're going to get into that. And now Dr. Fake, it's over. For now, it's over. Mass mandates are dropping everywhere. Probably all going to be gone, in my opinion, probably all going to be gone by late October, just before the November midterm elections. Would that be medical science or political science? And Homeland Security issuing a threat, a terrorist threat. Why? Well, because they're afraid that with all the COVID restrictions being released, there might be folks gathering to cause terrorism or something like that. It's pretty hard to understand what the hell they're thinking of Homeland Security nowadays. But I will tell you this, San Francisco thinks we have a solution for our homeless problem. And that is we will take all the homeless and we'll go to residents around San Francisco and say, take somebody into your home. Right. That's what they're proposing. Do I see Nancy Pelosi signing up for that? Do I see Dianne Feinstein? Do I see other Democrats? Do I see the mayor of San Francisco say, yeah, I got room? Have I not discussed this before and said, the day they start saying we'll take illegals in our homes to give them a place, then I'll believe they're concerned about the life and health of the illegals. Now they say they want to do it for homeless, but don't look for that to really happen. I'll remind you, of course, we are live streaming these broadcasts now at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube live streaming. You can go there and click on and watch while we go through the program. And we do have a lot today. And in fact, AOC, one of the members of the squad, says capitalism is not really that good for America. It's really not. She seems to like things that are going to be better for people. What would that be, like communism and slave labor camps? Is that what you're talking about, AOC? And then the Chinese Olympic star who won gold and they're so excited about. Chinese are so excited. And I'm happy for the girl to that extent, but now not so much. I'll tell you why. And let me remind China, she's made in America. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think each governor has to evaluate what's happening where they are. We have to look to the CDC, but we also have to recognize that we are shifting from pandemic to endemic. Some states are going to get there faster than others. My responsibility, if I am lucky enough to be the next governor of Georgia, is to look at the science, to follow the protocols, and to set the right example. And right now, that example is that we wear masks whenever possible, but we recognize that we can't be a hard line about this because situations change and we have different moments where we have to make decisions. But yeah. In this instance, I would say that as governor of Georgia, my job will be at that time to look at the science, to look at the situation, and to make the best decision to protect our kids.
So says Stacey Abrams, running for governor in Georgia, talking about maybe governors should make their own decision about dropping mask mandates. I mentioned in the opening a moment ago what Dr. Fake has suddenly declared. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But let's deal with this mask mandate right now, as stated by Abrams. She said, I think the governors of each individual state should make their own decisions. Okay? Keep that in mind. She's in the face of Joe Biden right now. Joe Biden's coronavirus task force today sidestepping all these decisions by numerous Democrat governors to lift face mask mandates across the country, recommending most Americans remain masked in public indoor settings. Stacey Abrams said, I think really the governor should make that decision. You're right. I know. I have not forgotten it. Yeah, she got caught maskless the other day with a bunch of children. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But Stacey Abrams saying governors should be able to make that decision. You know, that sounds kind of like what Trump was saying. Was that not right? And at that time, if you recall, he and red state governors were being called as threats to our national security and health. Now, governors across the nation are beginning to back off now, but the CDC advising Biden says, no, we continue to recommend masking in areas of high and substantial transmission. Of course, you have to rely on their numbers for that, don't you? How much faith do you have in the CDC at this point? Because Dr. Rochelle Walensky said that's most of the country right now. In other words, she said, we're, of course, taking a look at this in real time. We're evaluating rates of transmission as well as rates of severe outcomes as we look at updating and reviewing our guidance. Said we're always going to be flexible. And when she was asked about Democrat lifting the masking rules in various states, that was New Jersey, New York's talking about it, California is saying it's going to do it. She said, well, we've always said these decisions had to be made at the local level. No, you have not. You stood there, you and Dr. Fake with Biden, repeatedly saying, listen to what we tell you and do what we tell you. Not what we do, but what we tell you. That's why Dr. Fake could be spotted not wearing a mask when he's telling everybody to wear one. And as ball games resumed, no social distancing, sitting right next to two people that also had no mask on. And Biden, of course, continuously showing up without a mask, forgetting it or whatever. And then, of course, all the Democrats, including mayors and governors of blue states, blue cities, being caught without their mask on. But fear not. Here comes a word today from Dr. Fake, as reported by the Hill Broadcast Service. The Hill Broadcast Service. We'll get it right here in a moment.
We got some big news this morning. Dr. Anthony Fauci has declared the U.S. to be heading out of the full-blown pandemic phase. The president's chief medical advisor noted in an interview with the Financial Times that he does not believe the SARS-CoV-2 virus will ever be eradicated, adding, quote, I hope we are looking at a time when we have enough people vaccinated and enough people with protection from previous infection that the COVID restrictions will soon be a thing of the past. Meanwhile, New York Governor Kathy Hochul is expected to announce today that she will let the state's mask or vaccine mandate for businesses to expire this week as the state's positivity rate dips back below 5%.
Yeah, below 5% in New York State. But they're still thinking about imposing masks on children in schools, as are other districts. And in fact, there is a meeting coming up at the City of St. Charles School Board meeting tomorrow night. I'm going to give you more details on that because I know some of those listening in that area should know about it, because this is, again, going to deal with mask mandates for children. But Dr. Fake, as you heard from the Hill correspondent, suddenly saying, I think that we're past the full-blown pandemic phase. I think we're past that. But when can we completely move away from everything? Well, he's not going to give you a specific month or season. But he told the Financial Times, mask mandates could end soon, in quotes. An epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins told the AP, what we want to see is the Omicron surge continue to decrease. We don't want another concern to emerge, that we start to come out on the other side of this. And that gets quoted by the AP, which the same Associated Press the other day ignored the Johns Hopkins report saying those massive and restrictive draconian lockdowns did no good in preventing deaths, decreasing deaths maybe 0.02%. And it also has caused irreparable harm, of course, to the economy and to our children, which brings us back to masking children. And to that extent, the other day, as you know, Stacey Abrams was at a school, sitting on the floor, reading to the children, supposedly, and it was all part of Black History Month. You want to tie that in to make sure, hey, it's a Black History thing. Don't be attacking me. That would be racist. That's what you wanted you to come away with. Well, she actually got questioned by one of the state-controlled media outlets, but it's almost a condescending question way, like, here's the softball, your turn to hit, Stacey.
I think each governor has to evaluate what's happening where they are.
So obviously we've all seen the picture. We've all seen the coverage of the picture. Did you make a mistake by taking a photo maskless in the classroom when it appears that everyone else, including all the children, were wearing them?
Yes. I will say this. I went to read to kids for an African-American read-in day. I approached the podium with my mask on. I followed the protocols. I told the kids I'm taking my mask off because I'm reading to kids who are listening remotely as well. And we were socially distanced. The kids were socially distanced from me. I told them that's what I was doing. And in the excitement after I finished, because it was so much fun working with those kids, I took a picture. And that was a mistake. Protocols matter. And protecting our kids is the most.
What was the mistake? That you took a picture and then it got distributed or taken off the mask? I think it's because she took the picture and it got distributed, don't you? Not so much what she did. Now, The View, which I never watch, I'm sure many of you do. No, I'm sure you don't. But even members of The View were beginning to call out Stacey for this, saying that was wrong. In fact, flat dumb is what some of them were saying, that she really blew it and picked the worst time to do it and just give more ammunition to the other side. What's the other side? The other side is what? That you can make your own determination? That's what we call America? Now, The View, even though they launched into Stacey Abrams, they weren't the only ones to do so for her controversial photo op. The New Day co-host Breonna Keeler deemed her for that. The Atlantic Journal-Constitution reporter said she recoiled when she saw the image. And then, as I said, The View jumped up on her. Joy Behar said, I'm surprised that Abrams slipped up. Sonny Holston said her actions are hypocritical. Co-host Anna Navarro said it was a stupid thing to do. Oh, they went right after her. But she got support as well from CNN, one of their anchors slash reporters, or what are they supposed to be doing, defended her, saying she's not trying to harm children. She was not flaunting regulations purposefully. Well, sure she was. She purposefully took off her mask. What are you talking about? He said, and I would not be worried if... if my child was in that classroom, I wouldn't be worried about it. Well, a political consultant told NBC News, a Republican political consultant, this is a horrible issue for Democrats because they've attached wearing a mask to morality. You're a bad person if you don't wear a mask. He's right. That's what they've been trying to do. But Stacey Abrams now says she offered an apology. Well, I'm going to let you hear it again in a moment. But before I do, look how many others are, all these dominoes are beginning to tumble. Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat in New York, chairman of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. I'll repeat again. Chairman of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee said American life should return to normal. He said, and I'm quoting now, Democrats' plan to fight COVID is working. Did they produce any vaccines not really. It was all the Trump initiative. They enforced numerous vaccines. But he says that our fight against COVID is working. Cases are down. Vaccines now widely available. It's time to give people their lives back. With science as our guide, we're ready to start getting back to normal. So now they're going to recognize natural immunity. And so now we're suddenly going to see a change in things, and science is our guide. And I tell you again, you don't need to look at science in this case. You look at the calendar. Look around November when there's midterm elections. I think by then all the masks and mandates and restrictions will be gone. And by the way, speaking of how some of these folks are approaching this, I mentioned Sonny Holston a moment ago, overstating the percentage of coronavirus deaths among young people. She said, there's too many have died. Too many have died. No, any death is a loss, especially a child. but 770 in cases, 770 deaths in children between the ages of 0 to 17 through the end of January. That accounts to 0.008% of all COVID cases among children that age. And yet some school districts continue to impose mask mandates. I mentioned the City of St. Charles School Board meeting is tomorrow, the 10th, at the Benton Administrative Center in St. Charles. You folks can check that out in that area. And apparently this is the last school in St. Charles County with masks still on the kids, mandating the kids had to wear them. Stacey Abrams said she took it off, remember? Let's hear her apology, part of her apology again.
I told the kids I'm taking my mask off because I'm reading to kids who are listening remotely as well. And we were socially distanced. The kids were socially distanced from me. I told them that's what I was doing. And in the excitement after I finished, because it was so much fun working with those kids, I took a picture. And that was a mistake. Protocols matter. And protecting our kids is the most important thing. And anything that can be perceived as undermining that is a mistake. And I apologize.
Yeah, I apologize. But again, did you apologize for the photo that you let the photo be taken and get circulated, or because you took your mask off? And she also said, there are kids that I'm talking to remotely because they can't be in the class, so I'm taking the mask off so they can hear me properly. Which, how many cases of remote learning have we seen teachers still wearing a mask while they're teaching remotely anyway? And we know, or at least we should fear, the damage we've caused our children being masked up all this time. It's going to come back to haunt us in so many ways. We need to update the situation with Russia, Ukraine. We'll do that. And I want to remind you, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that pipeline, Nord Stream pipeline. And I remind you again, we are broadcasting live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube. We will be right back with Russia, Ukraine. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are streaming Larry Connors USA live streaming on YouTube. Go to Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. You can see, you can subscribe and get in, and also podcast as they're put up. Go right to your mailbox. You won't miss anything. Of course, you only get it live while we're actually broadcasting. Now, what about Russia, Ukraine? It is 9:32 Wednesday night in Ukraine. Dark, cold, temperature around 30. Light rain expected tomorrow. Russian troops are still amassed at the border with Belarus and, of course, along other parts around Ukraine as close as they can get without crossing the border. And at least one or more of the Soviet ships being, I should say, the Russian ships being sent to the Black Sea are entering that region south of Ukraine. The talks yesterday showed a discord and a break, and the economic picture is very big when it comes to Germany and Russia. Biden says, we will do what's necessary if Russia invades. We will suddenly step up sanctions, will shut down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I'm not sure he can do that. But let's say that he wants to claim that he can. The Nord Stream pipeline, Nord Stream 2, is basically 750 miles from northwest Russia going into Germany, the Baltic area. That pipeline, Baltic Sea, is fairly shallow, 200 feet maybe at the most. So that pipeline's being laid along there. It's been laid. It's ready to go, just waiting additional certification. But yesterday, or I should say the other day, as President Biden had the new German Chancellor Scholz with him and saying, we will stand united in fighting against Russia invading Ukraine, Germany just not being that vocal. And when asked by reporters, the German Chancellor was asked specifically, will you be in favor of them shutting down the pipeline if it comes to that? We stand united with the United States. Yeah, that didn't answer the question. Germany is looking to get something like 50% of its fuel needs going forward from this pipeline. And the Russian company, controlled company that's building the pipeline and going to be providing the fuel and everything else, it's going to get $15 billion a year from Germany, just Germany, for that fuel. So that's why the Germans are not actually ratcheting up any talks about dealing with Russia. They don't want it on a global stage. They want to keep it just kind of, well, keep it under the water, like we're doing with the pipeline. Also, something else of note, Ukraine is a site of when it was part of the Soviet Union, Chernobyl, where we had the nuclear blast, damage to that facility, I should say, in 86. No one's lived in that area since that time. It's considered a protected zone. Now Ukrainian soldiers are training in that area. In fact, they do fear that some of those Russian troops could come through that area. They're less than 2 hours from Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, if they come from Belarus from the north. So they're concerned that the area protected around the Ukraine, I should say Chernobyl disaster, might be a perfect opportunity for the Russians. In the midst of all of this, of course, the Olympics continue, which supposedly is going to bring all the countries together. Not so much. Not so much. And there are numerous reasons to continue to resist and speak out against the Olympics in Beijing. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think it's a mistake that the United States is competing. This is a genocide Olympics. And the thing is you see these the broadcast on NBC where they're whitewashing this stuff. You look at these corporate sponsors that are signing up on that, you know, they will blow these corporations in America, they'll blow a gasket, you know, for these small issues in the United States, but yet they're willing to underwrite games with a country that's committing genocide. To participate in this charade and acting like China is some normal country, you know, I think it's really been disgraceful.
It has been. The words of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican. Talking about the Olympic Games, they are disgraceful. They're being held in Beijing. We should have demanded that the U.S. Olympic Committee say, no, we're not going to any communist country, especially where they're carrying out genocide. He's talking about the Uyghur Muslims. They're a minority group in the northeastern part of China, very small, originally from Turkey, migrating there. And they've been persecuting them for their religion. But if you watch the opening ceremonies, NBC, the Peacock, showing the opening ceremonies, and two Uyghur Muslims were helping light the torch for the Olympics. As if China to say, see, we have Uyghur Muslims here, and they're alive, they're breathing. For now. And the point being made also by DeSantis, saying the broadcast on NBC are whitewashing a lot of stuff. They are. I'm going to deal with it specifically in the next hour regarding the great Chinese star that has surfaced, the one made in America that is in China, has won the first gold for China as a snowboarder, freestyler, skier, I should say. But these corporations he's talking about, like Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, corporate sponsors of the games, not just corporate sponsors of Team USA, but the games, and, of course, helping pay NBC for presenting the Olympics. And yet, they say nothing about genocide from China. Nothing. See, that's where the break comes, because it's the same companies that made a point to go after Georgia in particular and other states because they were going to have their laws changed that some were complaining would be disenfranchising, restricting voters. In other words, keeping people from voting, especially people of color, which is not true. But they did that, and they put so much pressure on. And, in fact, remember, the MLB, the Major League Baseball Association, decided to pull out the All-Star game from Georgia and move it to Denver because the new election laws being proposed in Georgia were just going to be too disastrous for minorities. So they take it away from Atlanta, which is predominantly black, and move it to Denver, Colorado, white as the snow around Denver. Didn't do much good for the folks in Georgia, did it? I do want to mention, I don't want it to go unnoted, of course, that we have Americans participating in the games, and I want to applaud and support them in the sense that they've trained hard for this opportunity. So I was not really in favor of a full boycott. We saw Carter do that when Russia had invaded Crimea previously going into the games. And then they turned around and boycotted ours, but the Olympics the next time around. But I want to let these folks who trained for this go ahead and have their opportunity. And a snowboarder, Julia Marino, won our first medal of the game Sunday. That was, a silver. Now we've got Lindsay Jacopoulos winning our first gold. So they're competing and doing their best. But the problem is, again, what's happening inside China. I want to bring you something to your attention. I was going to have this guy as a guest today, but it just didn't work out. He is with the Coalition for a Prosperous America. I may be able to get him next week, Kenneth Raposa, and he's talking about a Chinese sportswear giant and Olympic gear maker, Anta Sports, Anta, A-N-T-A, buying Xinjiang cotton harvested from far west China provinces. Cotton harvested from those areas is banned by the U.S. supply chains on the basis of prison labor violations. Last month, U.S. lawmakers asked for that cotton not to be any part of the Olympic uniforms. Anta ignored them, obviously, and said they were not going to take part in any sanctions. And it's not just the Olympic gear maker. It's companies, of course, that are supporting the Olympics for Beijing's purpose and making money off of Anta, because when they start breaking down and looking at some of the U.S. investors that are looking to make a dollar, well, you've got Vanguard, BlackRock, and other names that you would probably know that are all vested in Anta. Now, Nike cannot buy any of that cotton harvested without paying a price for it. Anta said it will not stop using the cotton in its products. They first said that in the spring of last year. But they're the official uniform supplier, and this time, and they say, we'll do what we want to. The point being brought up by the Coalition for Prosperous America is that ANTA's products have not been directly tied to forced labor, but due to the capacity of, or rather the view of supply chains in China and the secrecy involving forced labor factories, it's really hard to determine which cotton came from these labor areas or not, these labor camp areas. But those investing say, I don't know, we can make money. I mentioned Vanguard, BlackRock, J.P. Morgan, State Street, John Hancock, Fidelity. They're all shareholders of this banned cotton as of January 31 this year, last month, January 31. In the meantime now, top House conservatives have introduced legislation to formally sanction thousands of Chinese Communist Party officials, including the Chinese dictator and his entire family. The proposal has the backing of Republican Study Committee, and basically they're doing this as an escalation on the heels of the publication of the Breitbart News contributor Peter Schweitzer's book, Red Handed, showing all the members of Congress that have had their hands open and out for China, Russia monies in exchange for playing nice. It's titled Stop CCP Act. It would level, they say, debilitating sanctions on the Chinese Communist Party officials, block them from getting visas for U.S. travel, financial sanctions, blocking them from using or accessing certain assets. So we're going to see if that's going to be carried out and if it's going to be passed through. To that point, here comes House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Democrat, California. Should congressional lawmakers themselves be banned from stock trading, flip-flopping from her December position? She's now beginning to weigh in on it. The midterm elections, of course, are coming up. So now Nancy Pelosi is working with another Democrat on a detailed plan to end what voters consider inside congressional trading. Deliberations apparently have some complications, whether provide exemptions for pre-elected portfolios, so forth. And Pelosi's consideration comes after she got slammed by Senator Merkley, a Democrat of Oregon, for her husband's stock trading activity last month. Her husband's stock trading activity allegedly sways her legislative judgment. The Pelosi's raked in $4.8 million on tech options just in July. But now since Nancy probably will not run again for the House, or if she does, maybe for a 1-2 year term, because she knows if they lose the House, she won't be House Speaker. Might run, then resign. I don't know at this point. No one really seems to know. Not sure she does. But suddenly, well, if I'm not going to be part of Congress, I'm all for putting bans on. Because I'm out of here. Got my money. Coming up, the most nonsensical approach to dealing with the homeless in San Francisco. It has a base of some reasoning, but not so much.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Reminding you again, we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. And also you can subscribe and either watch for free live or watch podcasts of previous and get podcasts of the audio as well. So from San Francisco comes an innovative idea. homelessness in the Bay Area, as we talked about, that it's gotten so bad repeatedly. And you can thank God, and you should thank God, if you have a roof over your head and you have a means to pay for it and provide for you and your family. There are people out there that are desperate. That's not to make light of them whatsoever. Some of them probably need mental help, not just housing help, but also other medical help. But now, some of the charities in the San Francisco Bay Area are urging people, if you're so sick of seeing the homeless crisis on your doorsteps, why don't you do something about it? Take it personally. Take unhoused people, in other words, take the homeless into your home, give them a spare room, something like that. No, they're actually proposing it. They're trying to get them to do it. Charities urging local families, take the homeless into your home, and you'll get little or no compensation. But if you happen to have some apartment facilities, the mayor of Richmond, 20 miles from San Fran, has a program to match homeless people with local landlords who have empty apartments and will pay the landlords a year's rent up front to encourage them to forego usual credit, employment, background checks, as if drug addicts or rapists or child predators are among them. He was asked about, well, you think people have concern about bringing homeless into their homes? He said, no. They care about the plight of the homeless. He said, they're more concerned with the homeless camps. People want to see a solution, be part of it. He says, they welcome an opportunity. Well, why didn't they do it previously? They are that stupid that they didn't think I could take somebody in? This is the same kind of thing that, of course, keep in mind, by the way. You who would be paying for an apartment, trying to live somewhere, and maybe struggling to meet rent payments, utility, and everything else, and with the inflation at a 40-year high, you're struggling. These folks will be put into an apartment, and the city or charities will pay their rent for a year. How do you like that deal? There'll be more illegals coming. You can bet on that. They'll be going right into San Fran, and there will be even more homeless. It just begets. It's like a boulder rolling down and picking up snow and accumulating, and pretty soon you've got a disaster on your hands. And that's what they've got among the San Francisco homeless and elsewhere across California and in New York City area, all of these areas. I'm not going to get better by doing it this way, but I will say that I have often expressed, if you among the Hollywood elite in particular and all you wealthy Democrats are any of those who consider that we should have an open border, that we don't need to have a stinking border security, why don't you invite the illegals into your home? You could put probably three families in your garage and they'd be living in better conditions than whatever asshole they left behind, assuming they really want to come here to better their lives. And many do. But among them are also those who are looking for an opportunity to commit crime and take what you have, and that might include members of your family or your life. But this is what this socialist, communist, progressive force believes in, and it's blowing up on them. In the next hour, we're going to talk about that in more detail, how this is beginning to reach a point, even Democrats recognize, a point of no return. And yet we still have some members of the progressive squad, like Missouri Congresswoman Bush, saying, yeah, if I don't pay for my personal security, somebody might kill me. So, yeah, I'm going to spend federal tax dollars on personal security for me, but I want to defund police for you. Because my life is more important than yours, pretty much is what she's saying. She said that 6 months ago, you're going to get a chance to hear it again. At the same time, you got AOC saying, this free enterprise system, this doesn't work for all people. We need to have a different one, like, I don't know, Marxism, communism. You want to go back to slave labor camps? That's what they got in China. AOC, who suddenly has riches beyond what she had when she was just a barista at a coffee shop. And now has so many money deals lined up and people giving her dresses and different things and so forth. And she's got it made. When we come back, we're going to break down this crime. And I want to ask you, do you know what St. Paddy's Day is, March 17? Do you believe that New York City could fall to criminals the way things are going? That story coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.